You're listening to The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel.
Am I a king? Am I the king? Jesus was asking Pilate for his personal verdict. See, the decision about Christ is a personal one. Everyone must make their own decision about Jesus' lordship. Your parents, your spouse, your church, they can't answer that for you. You have to answer that for yourself. As we cling to the simple truth.
Have you answered that question? Is Jesus the king of your life? It's the ultimate question that everyone needs to wrestle with and answer. Maybe you grew up in a Christian home and you grew up going to church, or maybe you think that you're a Christian because you're American. Well, in his message today, Pastor Dion teaches that your heritage and the people that you hang out with doesn't make you a Christian. You can't rely on anybody else to make that decision for you. You have to personally make Jesus the king of your life. Now let's join Pastor Dion in the book of John chapter 18 as he begins his message, The Governor.
Thank you, Father, for transforming our life as we adopt your word, as we accept your word, and as we humble ourselves before you. Thank you for doing a beautiful work in our life and leaving your fingerprints all over us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Well, guys, throughout the New Testament storyline, Jesus exposed the high priest and the religious leaders as posers. Everybody say the word as what? Posers. The high priest and the religious leaders were a lot like the saber-toothed blenny fish. Now, the saber-toothed blenny fish lives in the Indo-Pacific Ocean. And here is how he is a poser. You see, this fish looks exactly like the cleaner fish. It's a small parasite-eating fish. Well, cleaner fish are usually invited by larger fish to attach themselves and eat the parasites off their body. I mean, for the fish, it's like a spa treatment. You know, it's like a massage. It's rejuvenating. It's revitalizing. It's refreshing. Well, when a larger fish is deceived, thinking that the saber-toothed blenny fish is a cleaner fish and unknowingly invites him to give him a massage, you know, do that thing you do, and invites him, the saber-toothed blenny fish will give that fish a couple of bumps. He waits for just a second. He's waiting for the Jaws theme, thump, 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 and then he chomps and takes a big old bite right from the underbelly of that fish with its razor-sharp vampire teeth. And while he's chewing that particular fish, he's chewing that piece, he kind of just makes a sushi joke and says, "That's just how I roll," you know what I'm saying? But that's how he deceives. Well, that's exactly how the high priest and the religious leaders rolled. They were posers. They were eating away at the underbelly of God's people. They were bullying them, they were abusing them, they were victimizing the poor and the helpless. And the religious leaders were also a non-profit organization. And here's what I mean by that. The religious leaders executed the prophets, all prophets who opposed or exposed them. It was Zechariah that they stabbed in the temple. It was Micah that they had beat to a pulp. They almost beat him to death. It was Isaiah that they sawed in half. It was Jeremiah who they threw in a miry pit and then later stoned. I mean, they were a non-profit organization. And now, at this moment, they were actually plotting to kill Jesus. And he was more than a prophet. He was the Son of God. And so they're plotting that. Well, the high priest and the religious leaders, they arrested Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there was actually another encounter that happened there, because during the encounter, if you remember, they came in to arrest Jesus. Peter pulled out his, concealed carry sword, and, he takes a shot at maybe the high priest, and he misses, and he cuts off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus. And the encounter takes place there, where Jesus picks up the ear and puts it back on and miraculously, heals Malchus's ear. It was a beautiful encounter, but we don't have time to talk about that. But it happened. There were they arresting Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. From that particular arrest, the religious leaders lead Jesus to a trial in front of the Jewish Supreme Court called the Sanhedrin Council. And there, Jesus is accused of heresy, of being a false prophet. And they sentence him to death. But have you ever wondered why they didn't execute Jesus right away? I mean, if they found him guilty, they sentenced him to death, why didn't they execute him right away? Well, one reason is because they didn't have the power to exercise capital punishment without Roman permission. All right? History will tell us it was during the time of Mark Antony, and that they lost their power to be able to execute or provide capital punishment for their people. They had to ask Rome. This is that situation. So now they can't do it themselves. They have to ask for Roman permission. That was one reason they didn't execute Jesus right away. Secondly, because they would get dirty. They would become unclean. According to their ritual, if they were next to a dead body, they would become unclean. And then that would mean they would be unable to celebrate the biggest party of the year, which was the next day, Passover. That's another reason they didn't want to execute Jesus themselves. And then the third reason they didn't execute Jesus is because the Old Testament prophets and Jesus himself described his death as crucifixion. Jewish execution, guys, was stoning. That was God's prescribed sentence for breaking his law. Well, Jesus didn't break God's law, therefore he would not die by stoning. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? So listen, long before the Jews were in the land of Israel, long before the Romans were even a nation, God had already planned his son's death and that it would be crucifixion. God explained it in the Old Testament like as a serpent on a pole, a gruesome crucifixion. In other verses, it's described in graphic detail. So God had already established how his son would die. So that's another reason the religious leaders didn't execute Jesus, is because God already had it planned another way. And God's plan might seem cruel, but before you call God unloving, God also planned his resurrection, not just his death, but his resurrection. And not just for him, but for everyone who believes in Jesus' name. Both the Father and Jesus willingly endured the worst to include us in the best. Isn't that awesome, guys? That's awesome, right? Listen, so the religious leaders didn't execute Jesus themselves for those reasons. They took Jesus to a guy by the name of Pontius Pilate to do their dirty work. Now, Pilate, guys, was the governor appointed by Rome over the region. And according to Philo, who was the Greek historian of that day, Pilate was, as they say, a pretty bad hombre. You know what I'm saying? He's described as a ruthless, violent man, hateful, prejudiced, and insulting. And he is the one that Jesus will encounter today in our encounter. So are you ready? All right, let's read the encounter. Here's what it says. John chapter 18, starting with verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas, the high priest, to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. Then Pilate said to them, you take him and judge him according to your law. Therefore, the Jews said to him, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. They need Roman permission. And it's also because of the sayings of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he should die. So here are the religious leaders. They have accused Jesus of blasphemy, of heresy. They have marched him over to Pilate so that Pilate can execute him. They march him over to Jesus to the Praetorium in chains. Now, guys, the Praetorium was in the Antonio Fortress, which basically is a garrison that Herod the Great added next to the temple when he built it as a gift to the Romans. It is literally a Roman embassy. It's basically a Roman military encampment. Now, the Temple Mount, and it is huge, and it reaches out. This is where sacrifices were made. This is where worship was conducted. And next to, away from the temple, but added alongside, Herod the Great made this Antonio Fortress. Again, a Roman embassy. The governor lived here. Dignitaries lived here. And, of course, the military, it was a military compound. So they march Jesus over there in chains, the religious leaders do. And guys, as a show of solidarity, this entire Sanhedrin council, the members of their religious organization, drag Jesus in chains to the Antonio Fortress. They fill the courtyard with support for his prosecution. There are 71 judges there. And of course, they paid a mob to gather there against Jesus. Now, what the religious leaders were doing is they were demanding that Pilate issue a death penalty on Jesus. Well, when they brought him, we read that Pilate asked them what the charges were. And the religious leaders got a little bit defensive if you read it. They said, well, don't you trust us? You think we would bring an innocent man to you, Pilate? Which I think Pilate might have said, do fat dogs fart? Yeah, I think you'd bring that. You know, the religious leaders accuse Jesus. Then they say, well, he's a heretic. He has broken one of our religious laws. And that's what they explain to Pilate. Well, Pilate can't believe that they pulled him out of bed for this. I mean, Pilate's saying, well, he broke your law. This has nothing to do with Rome. So go ahead and execute him. You have my permission. So Pilate gives them the power to do the execution, but again, for the other two reasons, we're going to get unclean, and because Jesus needs to die of crucifixion, they don't do it. The religious leaders insist that Pilate handle this. According to Luke's record, the religious leaders bring up or trump up some charges that Jesus committed against Rome. Treason, tax evasion, subversion. He calls himself a king. And everybody go, that's where the Romans would have just said, all right. Accusations were filling the courtyard, but not a single word of defense came from Jesus. So Pilate took Jesus into the Praetorium. Again, I told you, all those religious leaders wouldn't go into the Hall of Justice simply because it was Gentile and they would be considered unclean. So they just stood out in the courtyard. And they have been bullying Jesus, offering their accusations. There's a lot of noise and yelling. Jesus has said nothing. So now Pilate takes Jesus into the Praetorium, away from the bullies, away from the intimidation. And let's read it in verse 33. Here's what Pilate asked Jesus. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? So Pilate, in order to get some kind of defense from Jesus, to hear his story, pulls Jesus inside the Praetorium. In the Praetorium, guys, because he's already heard that they said, he said he was a king. So in the Praetorium, Pilate scanned over Jesus, looked at him, and sarcastically asked, Or I should say, sarcastically said, "You're a king? You? You're a king? You?" All right? On the surface, guys, Jesus doesn't fit the image of a king. On the surface, he doesn't. I mean, in fact, your first encounter with Jesus may have been in a church service listening to a sermon, and you might not have been impressed. Jesus may have sounded like a chump, like a nerd, insignificant. He might have sounded ordinary. But make no mistake, Jesus is the wellspring of wisdom, the doorway to deliverance. He is the Prince of Peace, the Rock of Ages, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World, the Horn of Salvation, the King of the Ages, and Mighty God. That's who Jesus is. Can you say amen? Wow. You're a king? Jesus then asked Pilate, "Well, what do you say? What is your belief? Am I king? Am I a king? Am I the king?" Jesus was asking Pilate for his personal verdict. See, the decision about Christ is a personal one. Everyone must make their own decision about Jesus' lordship. Your parents, your spouse, your church, they can't answer that for you. You have to answer that for yourself. Well, as Jesus asked the question, "What do you believe? What do you think? Am I a king?" Pilate didn't like that Jesus challenged him to a decision. So Pilate deflected. He said, "I'm not a Jew. I'm not on trial here. You are. What's your plea? You know, what have you done? What's your plea? Innocent or guilty?" So Pilate asked that, but Jesus goes back to Pilate's original question, "Are you a king?" Let's read in verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And after he said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." So Pilate pulled Jesus into the praetorium. He asks him if he's a king. Jesus says, "What's your verdict?" He kind of puts Pilate in the spot. "Well, do you believe I'm king?" And Pilate deflects. He deflects, but Jesus comes right back to that particular statement talking about his kingship. Jesus explained to Pilate that his kingdom was not of this world, that his kingdom was not an earthly one for now. Guys, there will come a time when Jesus will come as a conquering king during the second coming of Christ. He will ride a white stallion, his eyes like a flame of fire, wearing many crowns and a blood-stained robe. And there will be a title written on his thigh that says, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That day will come. An earthly kingdom he will set up. But for now, until the second coming, Jesus says he came to establish a spiritual kingdom, not one of political activists and not one of religious militants, all right? But a kingdom of believers and followers, a kingdom of people that live and love like him, a people who are invested in building his heavenly kingdom. That's the spiritual kingdom he came to build. See, as Christians, our mission is not to make America Christian, but to show Americans the way to heaven. Our mission is not to save America, but to save Americans. Can you say amen? All right. With that, as Jesus told Pilate about his spiritual kingdom, Pilate responded, "So you are a king." To which Jesus said, I am. Everybody say it out loud. I am. But again, he says, my campaign is not a military one, not a political one. It's a campaign of truth. Everybody say the word is a campaign of what? Truth. That's what Jesus said. That's the reason I've come. At that, Pilate rolled his eyes. He said with cynicism, what is truth? Everyone seems to have their own version of truth. You know, truth is based on perception or preference. What's true for me might not be true for you. What's true for you might not be true for me. That's the attitude, the philosophy, the ideology of the world. But truth is not relative. I'm going to say it again. Truth is not relative. Truth is not based on an individual perspective, like beauty in the eye of the beholder. Truth is a lot like gravity. It doesn't exist only for those who believe in it, all right? It applies to everyone, right? Kind of like that skydiver who, before he got on the plane, he asked the teacher, he said, hey, listen, what happens if my parachute fails and then my reserve fails? How long do I have before I hit the ground? And the instructor looked at him and said, the rest of your life. That's gravity. You can't say, oh, well, I perceive that it's not going to work for me because I don't believe in gravity. All right, truth is a lot like mathematics. It's non-negotiable. 2 + 2 = 4, no matter your perspective or your preference. Can you say amen? Jesus said that he came to clear up any confusion, to reveal truth. Jesus revealed the truth about Satan, the truth about sin, the truth about the Father, the truth about forgiveness, the truth about heaven, the truth about hell, the truth about eternal security, the truth about salvation. Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There is no other perspective, interpretation, or progressive revelation on the issue. He is truth. Can you say amen? He came to reveal it. That's what Jesus said. But like so many cynical people, Pilate didn't want to know the truth. In fact, Pilate walked out before Jesus had the opportunity to answer his question when he said, what is truth? So Pilate had a personal encounter with Jesus. Truth was revealed. A decision was called for. Jesus asked him, what's your verdict? Am I the king? Am I a king? But Pilate avoided the decision. He avoided, making that decision. But here's the truth, guys. God doesn't let people rest until they make a decision. He continues to wrestle with our conscience. And that's what he did with Pilate. As we cling to the simple.
Thanks for joining us here on The Simple Truth with Pastor Dion Cordova. Pastor Dion has been discussing what it must have been like for those who walked the paths that Jesus did during his time here on earth. We're in a series called Encounters with Jesus. The concept of meeting Jesus in person is kind of beyond us right now. But there were actual people who were living, breathing, hurting, dying, broken, arrogant, and even suffering. Jesus engaged with all kinds of people here, and it shows that he's not afraid to engage with you and I in what we're going through either. He's not surprised by it, and it's not new to him, the things that we're going through. He's aware, and he cares. Do you believe that today? As you listen to these teachings, our prayer is that your heart is being drawn closer to your Savior as you encounter him in the Scriptures. The Simple Truth is a ministry out of Truth Ministries Calvary Chapel in Española, New Mexico. To find out more and to find our church, head on over to tmcalvary.com. Once again, that's tmcalvary.com. We'd love to have you come and see us sometime. If you're more of a phone person, you can contact us at 505-753-4363. Once again, that number is 505-753-4363. With that, our time with you today has come to an end. We're so glad you made some space in your day to hear and learn more from God's Word. May you find that you're closer to Jesus from having done so right here on The Simple Truth.
You're the one that we proclaim. We'll be fools for you as you work in us. May your power show in the deeds we sow. Let us join our hands and together we stand.
Together we stand.